It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The American Birkebeiner is one of the largest cross-country ski races in the world, with thousands of people traveling to Hayward every year to ski the nearly 35-mile course through Wisconsin's North Woods.
The tradition goes back over 50 years, though weather conditions have caused concerns and at least one cancellation. But there's enough snow this year for the series of events from today's youth race and para-Birkies through the full race over the weekend.
Ben Popp is the executive director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. I talked to him earlier this week in the run-up to the event. Ben, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a beautiful winter day in northern Wisconsin and ready for some ski racing.
Now, the Birkie, it's such an institution in Wisconsin, over 50 years in the making now. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the race and how it grew to such a big part of the state?
Yeah, no, I think the history is really at the core of why it is so exciting. Tony Wise, native of Hayward, Wisconsin, World War II tank veteran. He was actually stationed in Bavaria during the end of the war and came back. He had seen skiing when he was there and wanted to bring it back to the place he grew up. And so he bought a small resort, Telmark Resort, just north in Table. And after a few years of operation, decided, hey, I want to start a ski race. And he had some Norwegian roots, and he had heard about this lore of this Norwegian prince being saved back in 1202. And went on to be the greatest prince ever and king of Norway. So he thought he would mimic that and create this 55-kilometer race in northern Wisconsin. They had a similar one in Norway. And so in 1973, Tony, in his infinite wisdom, decided that he thought it would be great to start a race. And 35 brave souls lined up on the start line in 1973. And it's continued to grow and grow from there. This week, we'll have over 14,000 participants and nearly 25,000 spectators right up here in beautiful northern Wisconsin.
And before we get to the skiing, Ben, can you talk about the impact, the tourism, all those people coming in for the local economy and the community?
Well, that's just it. You know, at northern Wisconsin, our heartbeat is all about outdoor recreation and getting people here and snowmobiling, biking, skiing, you name it. And so when it comes to wintertime, snow is just at the center of what makes our economy hum. And so the Birkie alone brings over $25 million of economic impact by bringing nearly 40,000 people here. So, you know, it's staying in hotels and restaurants and gas and bars, et cetera, you name it. So it's folks are not only here often just for a day, but really a week. They make a whole week vacation of it. So when snow comes and we're able to have this event, it really drives our economy, really regionally for all of northwestern Wisconsin.
Now, a reputation of the Birkies is, yeah, if you want to go there and you want to compete, great, there's room for that. But it also seems pretty welcoming to recreational skiers. Why is that important to the event?
You know, at the end of the day, that's the beauty of cross-country skiing is you can have somebody very new and beginner all the way to the most elite in the world. Last year, in fact, we had the best woman skier in the world, Jessica Diggins, here racing all the way down to people that call themselves doing the cold turkey Birkie. Literally, it's their first time on skis, and they're going to try and make the 55-kilometer trudge. And so it's really a pretty cool scenario when you can have the absolute best athletes in the world all the way down to beginners, all on the same start line, getting the same sort of support, feeling welcomed. And at the end of the day, that's what makes it feel so encompassing of everyone and why we really think it's important to spend as much time on the very beginner skier as to the elite. But you got to come check it out. And once you get Birkie fever, there's no turning back.
Take us on a tour of the scenery that the skiers and the spectators, for that matter, are going to see along the Birkebeiner route.
Well, and the really cool part about the American Birkebeiner route is it starts up in Cable, Wisconsin, and meanders through the rolling hills of northern Wisconsin hardlands and ends up down in Hayward. And you know, it's county forest, 95% of it. So it's just this beautiful scenery. And as you're rolling through the woods, we have these little aid stations about every 10 kilometers or so that there's got a little warming hut and water. Of course, during the event, there's going to be nearly 100 volunteers at each one of those aid stations, giving them water and bananas and oranges to help keep them moving down the way. There's medical folks along the way, ski patrol, all kinds of media capturing it. And you know, a lot of people that finish the event, again, they're not elite racers. They just like to go out and ski recreationally. They will tell you that it's the most exhilarating feeling going through the woods, stopping away, and then dumping into downtown Hayward, where there's nearly 25,000 people. They say, gosh, it feels like we're in the Olympics. And an interesting anecdote to that was Keegan Randall, one of the most decorated cross-country skiers, Olympians from the U.S., finished in Main Street a couple years ago when she did her first American Birkebeiner and said she thought it was a more exhilarating finish than the year she did the Olympics and won the gold medal. Wow, that really said a lot.
Now, you mentioned there are different distances of races, and there are also a couple of events to kick off the weekend, the long weekend. The Paraburkey race is one of the first ones. Can you tell us a little bit about that event?
Yeah, you know, when we think about cross-country skiing, we know that there's a little bit of something different for everyone. It's not that everybody has to go out and ski 50-plus kilometers from Cable to Hayward, because that's not what everybody wants to do, but the idea of having a wide variety of activities to create opportunities for everyone. So we start the week off with the Paraburkey, which is everything from blind skiers to people in sit skis. Skiing into downtown Hayward is just exhilarating for them as athletes to get that opportunity. And then it just starts to evolve through a variety of youth events. The Barnaburkey, over 1,000 kids. The Junior Burkey with 400 of those next elite athletes in the making, 13 to 18-year-olds. And it continues. The Barkaburkey is always a fun one when you ski jor, hook up to your favorite canine, and go ripping down the ski trail. But the fan favorite, of course, is the Giant Ski. Six people on one pair of skis racing a city block. It's sort of like, you know, potato sack racing meets ice skates. So quite a fan favorite.
Now, do people train for that Giant Ski to coordinate it, or is it like that sack race where it's a special event and you show up and hope for the best?
Well, the funny part, there is been a couple most people just show up. They have a ton of fun, have a couple beers downtown. You know, there's lots of people as the week goes on. It's Thursday night. But there's been a tradition now of two or three teams that actually practice, and it's become quite cutthroat. It's who is going to be the champion of the Giant Ski? So it's getting to be quite serious.
Off the top of your head, what would be, for the human participants now, not the dogs, the oldest and the youngest that you know of who have participated?
Yeah, so traditionally it's somewhere in the single digits, 3, 4, 5-year-old, all the way up to as old as 90. This year we know that our youngest participant in the Barnaburkey is 3 years old, and the oldest we have registered is 86. So you think about that age span, and that's one of the amazing things about cross-country skiing. You can do it your whole life. You don't have to start it when you're young. You can start it at 65 or 75 whenever you want, or you can start really young and just continue to do it, not only as you grow, but as a family, with friends. It's an amazing sport that I think really embodies being active outdoors and what it's all about living in northern Wisconsin.
Talking to Ben Popp about the American Birkebeiner going on this week through the weekend. Ben, I imagine, you know, we all watch the weather here, right, in Wisconsin. Birkebeiner week, I imagine nobody's watching it more closely than you. What are you seeing in the forecasts for the race this week?
Yeah, I tell you, Mother Nature is something that is really important to us. You know, last year in 2024, no snowflakes in Wisconsin, and we ended up having to create a machine-manufactured snow loop of about 11 kilometers. And in all honesty, up until about a week and a half ago, we were in line to do something very similar. It's been, again, quite dry in Wisconsin, as many of you know. And then it turned really cold. So the snows we were getting were just really fluffy and dry and not a lot of body to compact. You know, you think about skiing 14,000 plus skiers down a trail. It has to be really, really hard and durable. And so we were thinking we were going to have to go to this loop course again, but lo and behold, last weekend, the snow dance has worked. It's sort of a mix of chicken dance meets macarena. And it really, we got about 13 inches of snow. And at the end of the day, there's just enough snow to get everybody from Cable to Hayward. And this week, it's been really, really quite cold. You know, upwards of 25 degrees below zero these last couple mornings, which, again, you'd say, well, that's not very good. But actually, it's really helping us firm up this base. Our first event is on Wednesday, and we think the trail is going to end up being really, really good. And so we have to thank Mother Nature for coming through, because it really means so much, not only to the skiers, the volunteers, but just the greater community. So we're very happy with how it's all turning out.
What kind of work is involved in making sure, given whatever snow Mother Nature provides, that it's ready? How much preparation, if any, do you have to do for the trail?
Yeah, it's really, so we end up with about six groomers in their snowcats, the big snowcat grooming machines, that end up going up and down the trail. It takes us about 24 hours to groom the entire trail because it's 40 feet wide. It ends up being about 75 kilometers long because we not only have the Berkey Trail, we have a classic trail alongside it that we get used for the race, some of the youth events. So about 24 hours to get it fully groomed. And we'll end up doing that about five times since this last weekend to get it ready. The more we work it, the more we can compact it and get it hard. Then that only gets you to the edge of Hayward and the end of Lake Hayward, which, by the way, there's plenty of ice this year. We then have to bring in about 125 dump trucks loads of snow to get them from Lake Hayward into downtown. And then we erect the temporary bridge, the International Bridge, which takes folks up and over U.S. Highway 63, which is another 15 or 20 dump truck loads of snow. And so the whole course preparation ends up taking about 10 days. We've been well into it now. As I look out my window, the International Bridge is now standing and has snow on it. And we're just about ready to start putting snow down Main Street. And that means there's no turning back now. It's getting ready to start the American Berkeminer.
And so where you go to mine the snow elsewhere in the area, or I guess if you don't have snow, like last year, you have to make it for those last spots?
Yeah, you know, it ends up a combination of both. We do make some of the snow that we bring down, as well as farm it off some of the larger parking lots that we use for the event. We just actually, some big fields and the like, we take the snow off of those and then in turn use those, dump truck them into downtown Hayward. And some of the machine-made snow we're using to bolster some of the thinner spots on the southern end. Up in Cable near that north end, it actually catches just enough lake effect snow to make it really quite good as you start to meander south towards Hayward, just a little bit further south. And that's where we end up doing a little bit more work to ensure that whether you're the first skier coming in to win all the prize money or you're the last skier seeking to get the bronze broom, you all have good conditions and have a great time out on the trail.
Now, you mentioned a nail biter with the snow coming in late this year, having to manufacture snow last year. Do you have worries at some points about the future of the race if the snow doesn't cooperate from year to year?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd be remiss to say that we don't think about climate change and how it affects certainly skiing and snow in northern Wisconsin. Because, again, not only is it a great event, it's just so important to our local economy, whether you're snowmobiling or skiing or ice fishing. And so, you know, we've participated in a lot of panels and looked at what is the climate doing in terms of winter recreation in our region. And ultimately, we ended up having to cancel the race in 2017 because it rained. And so that was when we really flipped a switch and decided we had to start investing, started some capital campaigns and fundraising to invest in snowmaking infrastructure, knowing that if we don't get Mother Nature to dump all the snow we need, we were going to have to start to manufacture it because the event is so important to our regional economy that it was just something that had to go on. So it's certainly something that we look at and take very seriously and know that as we move into the future, certainly the event may change, but at the end of the day, figuring out a way to hold the American Berkeminer will always be important to not only our local community, but certainly our region and the greater globe as part of the World Open.
I got to ask, Ben, obviously you're going to be busy through the whole event. Do you get to do any of the fun stuff? Do you get to go out on skis, giant or otherwise, over the course of the event?
You know, it's funny. I grew up in northern Wisconsin and started skiing the event with my parents when I was quite young. And actually, before I took the job in 2013, had skied 19 Berkeminers and really enjoyed it. I love it. And honestly, since 2013, haven't skied more since then. But, you know, the real enjoyment of standing at the finish line, watching people come in, the enjoyment they've had, all the work the team puts in to help provide those experiences is so rewarding. And I know someday I'll be back out on the snow again, side by side with all the skiers of the Berkeminer. But for now, I'm relegated to the finish line and handing out bananas for those that made the trek.
And apart from those bananas and oranges, are there favorite foods for a post-Berkeviner meal?
Well, of course. In northern Wisconsin, it has to be a good beer and a bratwurst. There's no doubt about it. It's a fan favorite. As you pull into Hayward, you look for the brats and the smoke coming off the grills, find yourself a cold beer or, you know, if it's really cold, maybe a hot chocolate or two. But really, at the end of the day, it's really, really fun to walk down Main Street, nearly 25 or 30,000 people lining it, all kinds of languages being spoken because over 24 countries represented as part of the event. And it's really so fun to see the whole world come together in northern Wisconsin and just soak it all in and see what it's all about.
Well, now I want a brat. Ben, thanks so much for joining us today and have a great event.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, and we look forward to seeing everybody up here in the Northwoods soon.
Ben Popp is the executive director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. Berkey events are running now through the weekend in northern Wisconsin. If you're there or on your way there, send us pictures. We'd love to see them. You can email us, wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.